Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Shalom, saints. Hallelujah. It is a blessing to be sharing with you this Sunday. Not just you here that are in the sanctuary, but also those of you who are tuning in on iChurch that is streaming live in Spanish and in English. And so we're thankful for that. If you would turn to Matthew, or the Hebrew name for Matthew is Matityahu. What is all the Hebrew? Because it's truth. That's what it was written in. And so what we want to do is, knowing the true names and knowing the true words and the meaning of those words brings high definition to the Bible. I mean, you don't just watch regular TV anymore, do you? What, you got what, HD TV? What is that? So high that you can actually see the pimples and stuff on people's faces. Because it's high definition. Even people can't even really appreciate a regular movie anymore. It needs to be 3D. Right? But guess what? I got something better than that. I found a place that's 4D. Yes, the seats shake. Water sprinkles on you. Right? Smoke comes out. Lights flicker. And after that experience, I don't want a regular movie. I want to watch everything in 4DX. Well, that's what it is. When you talk about Hebrew and the word, when you realize the depth and the meaning of that stuff, you can't settle for nothing less. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's just that it becomes rich. And so I'm thankful for what he pulls out, the revelation that he shows us in his word. So we've been talking, and this is something that the Holy Spirit really wants us to get. The importance of kingdom and all the different manifestations of kingdom. Because the kingdom is him, is his experience. And he manifests it in what I've studied the word to be three different ways. And so the Bible is very specific on what type of kingdom it is. Because we're spiritual people, we're spiritual beings living in this natural world with natural crazy stuff going on, and we're supposed to respond to it in a spiritual way that the world may see that we're different from everybody else. That can be challenging. Because our nature wants to respond in a natural way. Somebody cuts you off, you want to run them over. You know what I mean? You feel it boiling up in you, right? Somebody says something a little sideways or you feel like you've been disrespected, what you want to do? You want to pop off. Right? But then we're supposed to be kingdom, so we can't be popping off. We can't be throwing up the birds and... We're supposed to respond to challenges in what? A different way. Because if people know that you're supposed to be saved, quote unquote, or a believer, or a Christian, quote unquote, then they're looking at how you respond and how you act, how you live in. And then depending on how you're living will be a determining factor on if that person even wants to be a part of the kingdom. Or they say, miss me with all that. And so what we want to do is we want to be examples of what his saving power can do, right? Our life is an example. And so when he's talking about the kingdom, he says there are three different ways it's conveyed. The first way is when you see in the Bible the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, or we use his Hebrew name, Yahvah, YHVH, Yod Heh Vav Heh. We look at that, and it's the kingdom of God, or Yahvah, is specifically this definition. When you see that, it's talking about the nature and the character of him. Right? Because we found a scripture. And Matthew 6:33 says what? But seek ye first the kingdom of God. What? The nature and the character of him. And then it says, and if you do that, so Matt, turn to Matthew 6:33. And if you do that, then something's going to happen. Right? And so do you have Matthew 6:33? Okay, so say this. But seek ye first the kingdom of Yahvah. It's not on the board. Don't worry about it because I didn't put it in there, but I feel led to say this to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of Yahvah and what? His righteousness. And then something's going to happen. What? All the same things. Because what happens is that we're caught up in stuff. And so what do we as human beings want to seek? We want to seek what? Things. We want to seek the money. We want to seek the women. We want to, or sisters, you seeking the men. You may want to seek cars or position and all these different things. But he says, don't get it twisted. You as kingdom people have to seek the nature and the character of Yahvah. And if you do that, how many things will be given to you? So instead of seeking the stuff, seek him. Guess what? If you seek him, the stuff is going to be drawn to you. Can you imagine that? Whatever you need is going to be what? Drawn to you. Why? Because I'm seeking the nature and the character. What is the nature and the character? His goodness, his love, his forgiveness, his righteousness, his holiness, all the things that he is, he wants us to be. Say that to you. Say that. Say all the things he is, he wants us to be. It's not like he's holding back and saying, no, y'all got to be dirty. No. Like I'm the only one. No, he's saying my nature is available to you. I want you to take on my nature. Take on my image. There was a movement, WWJD, a few years ago. And it was, what would Jesus do? And we know that we use the true name. Jesus didn't come till 1611, the year 1611. So prior to 1611, what were they calling the Savior? We find that it's his Hebrew name, Yeshua. But it was, what would Jesus do? And what did that denote? Why did they have that movement? And they had little bracelets. And when people, when you do something, people say, WWYD, WWJD. Why? Because it's trying to remind you how to respond in situations. Don't act like James would act. Don't act like Susie would act. Act like Yeshua. What would Yeshua do? And it reminds us of his nature. I guess sometimes we forget we saved, don't we? Do we forget sometimes? Or as people used to say, maybe they still say it, I'm going to lay down my... I'm Ladies, you, what's the earring thing? What does that mean? Why do you gotta take the earrings off? I'm just curious. Oh, so you don't get, okay. All right. But you know, you getting ready to what? Get fight. I mean, that was just a natural thing. Man, what wouldn't it be beautiful if we responded like with the word and we responded with power of the Holy Ghost? And we actually fought in the spiritual realm where we're commanded to fight in, right? But that should be our first thought. Our first mind should be there. And so that is what he was saying. And then if you go to, and this is a scripture that we have in the system. I believe it's Luke 17. Is that what you guys have? When we're talking about who he is. And go to Luke 17, 20. And I love it. That's who he is. And it says what? And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God or Yahweh should come, meaning they were asking him, are you talking about kingdom? When is this kingdom of God supposed to come? Which is the nature and character of him? When is it going to come? When is it going to manifest? And he answered them and said, the kingdom of God or Yahweh doesn't come with observation, and neither can they say, oh, lo, here it is, or lo, there. He said, for behold, the kingdom of Yahweh or God is what? Within you. Say, it's in me. What is in you? The nature and the character of Yahweh that we receive with his Holy Spirit. The second way kingdom is conveyed is the kingdom of heaven. Say kingdom of heaven.
Kingdom of heaven.
Now, when they're talking about the kingdom of heaven, it's actually a geographical location that seats the government of Yahweh God or the systems. What does that mean? That means that all the way the kingdom works and the dispatching of angels and all of the things that the word tells us that are available to us are located in what? The kingdom of heaven, right? So what we are trying to do is we're trying to exude the nature of Yahweh by his Holy Spirit and connect or access, come on, the government of Yahweh and the systems of Yahweh. And when we do that, something happens. But let's get a scripture on the kingdom of heaven. And let's go to, we had so many to choose from. Let's go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. You got it? So this is where the government of Yahweh, the way he works, his power that he has access to. And it says, 16 chapter, 13th verse. Are you ready? Matthew 16, 13.
Yep.
Okay. So it says, and when Yeshua came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, who do men say I am? Now he's walking with these brothers and, you know, he asked the question. Remember, he's demonstrating to them the word. He's demonstrating to them the lifestyle. He's demonstrating to them what is expected of them. And he says, what are they saying about me? Who do they say I am? And so the 14th verse says what? And they said, some say you're John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was, you know, he was a precursor to Yeshua. He was the one saying, hey, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. There's one coming that's what? Greater than me. I'm just preparing the way to tell you that somebody's coming that's going to blow your mind.
Yes.
Right? And so he says, and then some say that he's Elias, one of the other prophets. Some say Jeremiah's. And the 15th verse says what? He said unto him, but whom do you? If it's been prophesied that one would come who would be the Messiah, the Messiah, the one that would change everything. People were there and saw the miracles and they still did not believe that he was the one. And so he had these guys with him, and you would think all 12 of these dudes would be convinced. Otherwise, why are you following him everywhere? You've seen him. But he says, who do you say that I am? And the 16th verse says, and Peter, Simon Kepha, we use Peter as Kepha, and Kepha is Peter in Hebrew, answered and said, you are the Messiah. You are the one that we've been waiting on. You are the one that has been prophesied that you would come and bring salvation. So I believe that you're who you say you are. You're the one that we've been waiting for all these years. The Son of the living God. Unless you know who he is. Let me say that again. Why be spiritual, quote unquote, if you don't know who you're serving? What's the purpose? You go to church just to have a badge to say, I go to church. You got a fish on the back of your car just to say, oh, your car is more saved than you are. I'm just saying. Why do that? Why just play the game? Why not? Why? In my opinion, shouldn't it be real? I mean, if you're going to do something, shouldn't you do it the way it's supposed to be done? Shouldn't you go all in? Whatever you're going to do. Some of y'all was out there. You was the best sinner that was out there. You was swinging it more than everybody. You were, if there was a dance, you were dancing it harder. I would demonstrate, but yes. I was never a real good dancer. I could, you know, sidestep. See, if you do that, you can do it. It covers a multitude of. Anybody just a sidestepper? Yeah, Debbie, yes. I know. And so he said, but who do you say that I am? And he says, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of the living God. And 17th verse says what? He said, you're blessed. Blessed art thou, Simon. Basically, he's saying, Simon Peter, or Simon Kepha was his name, and he's saying, Simon bar Jonah. Bar means the son of. So he says, Simon, the son of Jonah, you're blessed. There's a reason why he broke that down. He was like, if you know who I am, I know who you are. You're Simon Kepha, and your daddy is Jonah. So I know who you are. I'm looking at you. And if you know who I am, I know who you are. For flesh and blood didn't tell you, didn't reveal unto thee who I was. But he said, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it to you who I was. You saw the demonstration of power, and you said, hey, all the things that he's doing, he must be the Messiah. He's got to be the Son of the living God. And 18th verse says what? So because you know this, because you know who I am, I'm going to do something. That's our testimony. If we really know who he is, he's going to move.
Yes, he is.
Wait. Say that. Somebody's got to catch that. If we really know who he is and what he can do,
yes,
something's going to move.
Yes.
And not only is something going to move, it's got to move. Tell your neighbor, it's got to move. Because listen, there's stuff happening to us in this world. You going through some stuff at work. You going through some stuff in your bank account. You going through some stuff legally. You're going through some stuff in your family. You're going through some stuff socially. And whatever it is, as a believer, it's got to move. Tell your neighbor one more time, they need to be encouraged. Say, it's got to move. Not it's going to move, but it's got to. Something's got to happen. And that can only happen if you know who you're serving. If you know, hello, whose name to call on. Because that's the access is by his name. And it says, and I say unto you that you are Kepha, you are Peter. And upon this rock, it wasn't a physical rock, but it was that faith. Get this. Are you ready? Faith is emunah. It's the Hebrew word emunah. Emunah means unmovable, unshakable, totally solid. You can't move it. What is a rock? A real rock? You trying to push, you can't push that thing. So he's saying upon this rock or this kind of faith, this belief, I'm going to build my church. It's on that kind of thing. So guess what? He's looking for a rock in you to build on. Tell your neighbor, he's looking for a rock in you. He's looking for that solid belief. Not, oh, I wonder if he's really out there, or I wonder if he's really going to move in my favor, or I wonder if he's really who he says he is. I don't really know. Because Jonathan said that I don't have to go to church, that church should just be in me and wherever I go. So I'm not sure, you know, what I should be doing. Stop talking to Jonathan, first of all. Because Jonathan ain't giving you no scriptures. He ain't giving you no word. You got to believe. You know what? It ain't based on your friend's faith. It ain't based on your mama's faith. It ain't based on your daddy's faith. They probably made you do some stuff. Apostle made me go to church when I was, I said this before. If I wanted a roof over my head, I had to go to church. Anybody made to go to church out there? Okay. But then when you got older and you start going through some stuff of your own, you had to find a rock. You had to find some solidity. You had to say, I got to live this thing for myself. I got to do this for myself. Because you was in situations, mama wasn't there. Grandmama wasn't there. You had to stand on your own. But thank God he forced me to go to church. Because the word says, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. Right? And so he's looking for this kind of faith to build his church on. And this is the part I love. And if you allow him to build that church in you, the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, don't get it twisted. The gates of hell will try. Anybody experienced the gates of hell this week? Last week? Last month? There were some gates. But see, that thing's got to move. And I said this before, I will say it again. The gates of hell will not prevail. So if the gates of hell try to prevail, you have to use your power and authority and say no. No hell. You will not prevail. Or in other words, hell. But it's the truth. You gotta, because they're gonna try. Even last week, They say, they're going to have some layoffs. You might not have your job. Hell no. I bind that in the name of Yeshua. My job is preserved. I worked in a company. Check this out. I worked in a company for 15 years. It was a corporate company, very well-known company. And every other year, this is how they did it, y'all. They were foul with the way they did it. There would be like murmurings that it was going to happen. Debbie, you know what I'm talking about. You worked at that place too. My wife still worked at that place because she been there almost 20 years. Why has she been there almost 20 years? And everybody that she worked with is gone. Why is she still there? Because she's kingdom. She's still, and whatever murmurings, we say, uh-uh. Her job is preserved. So they would go and there would be murmurings. And then the day that it was supposed to happen, you would, Steve is at his desk. He's working. Act like you're working. And security, come up, Mark. Come on. Tap him on the shoulder and tell him, let's go. And then you'll be working like, oh my God, who's next? It was like the Grim Reaper situation. You can go back. I'm going to restore your job, brother. And so in the apartments, and so they had Kleenex. Wait. Say that again, Debbie. And you would hear the crying because they would take you into a room in one of the conference rooms. And people would be like, ah! Because they lost their job. And so the whole mood of, you couldn't even get no work done. You were looking around to see if Mark was coming to take you away. It was cold-blooded. But every time I said, God gave me this job. And he'd be the only one that would move me out of it. Aren't you afraid of your job, Tom? Uh-uh. I ain't afraid of nothing. So they were shaking in their boots in their cube. And I was like, you better try to come to my. Don't do it. Why? Because I had that belief. I knew there wasn't no devil in hell gonna take away what Yahweh had given me. Now it tried. It tried to shake me up because it took away the people that was right next to me. When you see, look, it's like you coming down the aisle and Apostle's me, he's sitting there and they have to pass me. So what am I thinking? Oh my God. Right? I'm supposed to be thinking that. But I was like, gone. That's not for me. And they went and got this dude. No. It's crazy. But you gotta what? Somebody was in a situation like that, but you gotta what? Believe that this is mine and the enemy is not gonna prevail against me. Say that. This is mine and the enemy is not gonna prevail against me. Don't take my stuff. And y'all gonna sit there and let him take your stuff without no fight. As a believer, you should be ready to fight. Fight. If you're going to fight about something, fight when the devil try to manifest himself. Yeah. So the gates are not going to what? Prevail. But saints don't get it. They're going to try, but don't let that shake you up. He going to try it. Tell your neighbor, he going to try it, but he won't prevail. Hallelujah. If you believe that, say hallelujah. You better believe it. So, in this case, And then why, Pastor Tom, you keep on talking about this? Because it's important. This next verse, 19. And it doesn't stop there. And he says, and because you have this kind of faith, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What is that? That's the systems and the government of Yahweh. That's where everything is working. That's where everything is moving. That's where everything is dispatched. And if you got the keys to that, you can open up some stuff. Right? He says, so I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So you're going to have access to the government of Yahweh. Woo! Somebody say that's power. And he says, and whatever you bind on earth shall what? Because he's going to manifest. See, this is what you don't understand. Whatever it is that you need, it's already done in heaven. And he's just waiting for you to have the faith to unlock it so it'll manifest on earth. But what happens is that you won't believe that it's already happened in heaven. You won't believe that the systems are already operating in your favor. And he says, I can't manifest it on earth unless you believe it's happening in heaven. So I'm giving you the key to that. And if you bind something, because some stuff don't need to be loosed. See, this is a problem. Saints, you sometimes don't know what you're asking for. Oh, your job may be lost. Oh, I loose that in the name of, no, don't loose that. Do you know the difference? You loosen stuff that you shouldn't be loosed. You loosen when you should be binding. And you're binding when you should be loosing. Right? So you need to know what it is that you want manifest. But he's saying, I can't manifest it on earth, y'all, until you believe that it's happening in heaven. That is, say it to yourself, it's already done. You got to really believe that. Say it one more time. Fix your spirit on what it is that you are going through right now. What you're praying for and believing right now. Okay, lock that in. Now I want you to say it. Don't just say it, to be saying it. Say it because you believe it. And I'm going to count to three and just say it's already done. One, two, three.
Already done.
Thank him for it then. You got to have that. You got to believe that. You got to move like that. You got to move like that. So that's what we do. We're binding things that need to be bound and locked up. We're loosing things. We want to bind disease, sickness, bind that up. But we want to loose healing. Hallelujah. We want to loose deliverance. Right? And so the 20th verse says what? And he charged them that he should tell no man that he was the Yeshua Mashiach, because this is the thing. He was going to have to give them some power to work this thing. He showed them everything, but he said, don't do nothing until the Holy Spirit comes. I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you power. Don't do anything until what? It comes, right? So go here. I love this. So now let's talk about the kingdom. And this is the definition of the kingdom, right? We saw the kingdom of God. Or Yahweh. We saw the kingdom of heaven. We just finished that. Now the third way that the kingdom is manifested is just the kingdom. What is the kingdom? This is a definition of simply the kingdom. The kingdom is the culture of kingdom that is the dominion and rule on the earth. Right? So the kingdom is that of dominion and rule and power. What is that, Pastor Tom? If you know that something needs to be changed, now you've already said, the kingdom of Yahweh is already working in me. He's given me the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Right? And so now that he's given me the keys to the kingdom of heaven, whatever I need to be manifested on earth will manifest. And whatever is manifested on earth, whatever that is, the power that you need to be exercising, the dominion and rule, that's called the kingdom. So whatever is changing in, on earth in your favor. Example. Hey, co-worker said, Tom, you might lose your job, dude. We just talked about this. And I say, no. I said, I bind that in the name of Yeshua. I will still be here tomorrow. Tomorrow comes. This is tomorrow. I'm still there. They gone. Boom. This is kingdom. Whatever I said and I believed them for was manifested. I said I was going to keep my job. I sent it up to heaven, and boom, we're here today, and I'm standing. Tell your neighbor, that's kingdom. Dude, your credit score is 487. Somebody said, wow, you know that yours is right, scraping that. And you want to buy this car? Believer, I don't care what my credit score say. I'm going to get a car, and you're going to give it to me for $250 a month. And I ain't going to put no money down. Well, excuse me, sir. I got to go talk to my manager. This is Tuesday. This is Wednesday. Somebody say kingdom.
Kingdom.
Boom. Boom. Because I said it was going to be mine. And guess what? With a 487, they gave me a 2017 for $250 a month and no money down. Hallelujah. Why did that happen to me? Because I'm kingdom. So that is the kingdom. That is the dominion and rule and power. You said it was going to happen. You claimed it. You believed it. And what? Boom, it was manifest. Everybody can see me rolling now. I ain't trying to show out. I'm just trying to live the life that he said was available to me. He said, hey, if I believe... Now listen, you got to put this stuff in perspective. I'm not rolling like this for my own glory. I had a testimony. He knew I needed a car to get to work. He knew that my 1987 was breaking down. And I wasn't trying to get the fanciest thing going. I was just trying to get some, don't you just want... Just some solid, reliable transportation. Is that too much to ask? A nice little Toyota? You know, or a Honda? Or a Mazda? Oh, guess what? I wanted to tell you guys this. So, they got this survey called J.D. Power and Associates. And J.D. Power and Associates tells you what is the best service and car to drive for the reliable and all that stuff that has the best, all that, right? And so you would think that, oh, well, the top car in the J.D. Power and Associates survey must be a Mercedes-Benz. It must be a BMW. Guess what it is? It's a Kia. 2017 best car company, best reliable, best service department is a Kia. And you trying to floss with something. Right now, the best thing rolling is a Kia. Nia said,
oh, yes, I got a Kia.
Go ahead, Nia. Drive your Kia, girl. But that's what I'm saying. We just want to be able to believe Yahweh for the stuff in our life. The reports of sick, the doctor say something crazy. We're trying to, well, we see something in your breast. We don't. We had that testimony, and my wife don't mind me telling it. Well, they see something in, you know, the breast, and they were asking about family history and all that stuff. I said, I'll bind that in the mighty name of Yeshua. They said, well, you got to come back next week because we think we see something, you know. And I said, I don't care what you see. I'm believing that whatever it is, it's going to be gone in the mighty name of Yeshua, right? So we go and take the test. This is Wednesday, right? So the lady is doing the ultrasounds and everything. And I'm sitting there praying. I'm right there in the room. Right there in the room. Now, you know that that person can't give you the results. So you got to wait until the doctor. But I knew that it was already done in heaven. Already done in heaven. Say it, already done in heaven. Already done in heaven. I already received. I know who I'm serving. I know whose name I'm calling on. So I got the keys. So I done already bound up that sickness. Next week, results come. Babe, they couldn't find anything. They said it's gone. Somebody say kingdom. Boom. You got to have that kind of faith to believe. Listen, if you don't believe the stuff that's in that word, what are you sitting here for? Go and have brunch somewhere. But if you believe that he says what? In his stripes, I'm what? Healed. Right? He sent his word and what? Healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. Does anybody believe the same word that I believe? Hallelujah. That's kingdom. That's kingdom. We live to see kingdom manifested on earth. The evidence of what he does. Go here. I don't know if I'm experiencing all of that. Oh, really? Go here. Go to, and this is where I'm just running out of time, but it's okay. Go to Luke 12 chapter. Because you believe this, because it's been revealed to you who I am, Yeshua was saying, I'm going to give you the keys. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, right? Anybody ever had a teenager that was trying to learn how to drive? Okay. Right. Okay. Did you feel comfortable handing over the keys? Why didn't you feel comfortable handing over the keys? Because they had not matured and focused to a point where that you thought that they were going to be responsible enough to be able to handle them keys. The Father works the same way. I'm believing him for $1 million. Really? What are you going to do with that? I'll buy a Maserati and a Bentley. And then I'm going to buy a mansion Guess what? $1 million don't give you all that. Maybe a few, maybe 30 years ago or 40 years ago. You better buy a Kia. But what are those thoughts and affections? You believe in God for $1 million, but look what you're going to do with it. So y'all was saying, I can't give you the keys right now because you're not ready. You're not stable enough. So parents, you couldn't hand over them keys until you felt confident. So I'm telling you, believers, if you're believing Yahweh for something, you need to have a kingdom connection to it. It needs to be something that, you know, yeah, I went in, what are you going to do with $1 million? Well, I want to help homeless people. I want to do some work in the community. And if you set your affections on that kind of thing, then guess what? You got the keys. Some of y'all need to grow up your soul first. You're not ready. You believe in for a Mercedes and you need the Volkswagen. Say, I need to grow up my soul. Because I want access to the things that Yahweh wants. You should want what he wants for you. Let me say that again. You should want what he wants for you, not some selfish desires, some foolishness. Because this is what he's saying. Go to Luke 12 chapter. Look at it and go to the 32nd verse. I love this. And he's saying what? Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Hey, he wants to give it to you. He wants stuff to be manifest. But you got to be having the right motives. You got to have the right spirituality. You have to have the right what? Nature and character. So if your nature and character is off, you can't have that right now. But he's saying, I want to give it to you. But he says, I want you to first know who I am. Then I want you to know what's available to you. And whatever you're asking for, he says, I want to get the glory. Are you following? Not me getting the glory. So you got to ask yourself, what I'm believing for, is he going to get the glory? Come on. So if I'm believing for deliverance and healing and boom, it's manifested, I don't get the glory. Who gets the glory? Is he worthy of the glory? Is he worthy of that? So he says, it's my good pleasure. I want to give you power and dominion. And all these things. Last thing. Power. So if the kingdom is the power manifested, right? The dominion manifested, right? You got to find out what power you're seeking. I find in study there's several different kinds of power. And I'm going to leave you with that. And we'll continue next week. Let's go to this. In the Greek, there is a power called Icarus. Say Icarus. And I should have a slide. That's intellectual power. That's, you know, ingenuity. You can think up some things. You thought the next iPhone. You had an idea for that. Boom. That's what that is, Icarus. Then there's called Kratos. Say Kratos.
Kratos.
That's governmental power. That's when people are seeking positions and stuff. Right? Then there's Pneuma. Say Pneuma.
Pneuma.
That's just the human spirit. That's like a natural drive, you know, and you know how that works in a way, because in Pneuma, it's like, say you play basketball and you're 5'8". I'm 5'7". I'm 5'6". But maybe I'm playing with some 6-foot dudes. And, you know, maybe I don't have their stature, but I got a whole lot of pneuma. I can You know, I'm like, I'm not going to let these dudes make me look crazy, right? And because of that drive that I have, then, you know, I dunk over. But that's natural stuff, right? Then there's energia. That's expelled energy. That's work. That's labor. That's energia. So these are different kind of powers. Exousia, I used to say exousia, but it's exousia. That's Greek, exousia. And that's authoritative power. That's power given from one to another. So when Yeshua was walking with his disciples, he said he had given them exousia to cast out demons. But they had to believe that that authority was transferred to them, right? They had to what? Believe it. Say they had to believe it. And then we have dunamis. Dunamis is the wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit working and moving and manifesting in our life. So the question is, what kind of power are you seeking? Are you seeking his dunamis power? Or are you working in your own power? When you try to do your own thing, that's energia. You're knocking yourself out. I'm trying to be rich. So I got this pyramid scheme, and, you know, we're going to do what? Come on. You wasting a lot of time. Anybody know some pyramidals? Yeah, okay. You know, I mean, I'm not knocking anything, but you can't put your faith in the pyramid scheme. You have to put your faith in the power of Yahweh, that his dunamis power will manifest whatever it is that you want. Right? And so next week we'll figure out what kind of power we operating in. Somebody say hallelujah. Give him the glory because he is worthy of it. Father, we come to you. We thanking you, Father, right now for knowing who you are and what you do and what's available to us, Father. You said to Kepha, because you know this, because it's revealed to you. It's this kind of faith that I'm going to build my church on. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. And I'm going to give you the keys, the access, the systems. Father, we've been charged to be your glory here on earth. We've been charged to be your servants, your stewards, so that they can see your power manifested through our lives. Help us, Father. Help us not to be all in our own power and what we can do, but help us understand we have to rely on you. You hold the wonder-working power. The Holy Spirit that you've put inside of us. Father, we want you to move. We want you to move. We want you to manifest. We know that there are some things that people in the world need to see. You said if you be lifted up, you would draw all men unto yourself. How does that happen? When the people in the world see us lift you up and proclaim your name, and we are believing and we're standing, and you manifest, then people are drawn to your kingdom. So we're thankful. Use us. Not for selfish reasons at all, but let your glory be manifest that others may see you through our lives. And we give you the glory for that. In the matchless name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. We're asking you to bow your head because we're at a point where we need to ask just one or two questions.